Good evening. This is Susan Gingrich, the herb lady in Ohio. And for those of you who have been watching the weather this week, you know that we've been through quite a storm. I happen to live in that band that got all the ice. So we have 5 inches of snow with about a half an inch layer of ice on it that you can walk on top of. It's really peculiar. And the trees are just glistening. We've got sun, full sun all day long and really cold. It's down to like 18 degrees and it's beautiful. Just like living in Siberia. It's just gorgeous. Reminds me of that scene in Dr. Zhivago with the ice castle. But we're all staying warm here, and life is going on. Today we all started moving around again. Thomas Easley is hoping to come on with us tonight if we can reach him. And so you may you'll hear him come in when we can find him. In the meantime, Thomas has been out to L.A., and I know that he just got back to Alabama today, and he's experiencing some jet lag, so we'll see if he's conscious for us later. But one of the things I'd like to have him tell us about is the Leaders Conference that he just attended for Nature Sunshine out in L.A. He just got back today and had been there all week. He said that Dr. Rodier, Dr. Hugo Rodier, who is a man that I respect very highly, he's an MD who actually reads all the journals every week and then puts out a newsletter with synopses of all of the articles that he's read and does a radio show once a week based on what he's discovered. And he was one of the main speakers at this convention. And one of the first things he talked about in the early morning session was the more recent articles concerning research in medicine that are things that we need to look into. And he mentioned an article that Thomas said that he had already read. It's in Discover Magazine. My husband just found it on the internet on the November 2006 issue. And what it's talking about is that DNA is not our destiny. You know, all the research that's been going on genetic discovery of where the sources of diseases are. I've always been kind of suspicious of what the purpose of that type of research is, if not to say, you know, you have defective genes, and I don't know, I haven't really determined, you know, that can be used against us in a lot of ways by insurance companies, or even at some point there might come a time when people would be told they couldn't reproduce because their DNA was off. And one of the studies that's talked about in this article is one on mice that are already diabetic and prone to cancer. And when they started the study, what they did was to change the mouse's diets just before they conceived, and by changing the diet to a healthy diet, this is it in a nutshell, their next generation came out just fine. So the DNA, according to this research, does not have to pass on. It does unless we do some intervention. But just feeding these mice a diet that included, let me read it here, onions and beets and garlic and food supplements often given to pregnant women will reverse that. In other words, the upshot of this whole thing is that if we can reverse we can reverse the genes by simply changing the diet to something healthy. In other words, the environment has just as much of an effect on what is manifested from the genetic makeup as the genes themselves. And that's tremendous news. When Thomas and I were talking about this earlier today, we were discussing a cat experiment that was done by Dr. Price, Weston Price, or at least it's mentioned in his book. He talked about cats that were given raw meat. Cats need raw meat, but the cats that were given cooked meat after 3 generations started to produce birth defects in the next generation. And what he found then was that diet will affect the genes and will affect several generations out. So if we persist in a fast food diet, and I highly recommend everyone go who hasn't done so needs to go see, read the book Fast Food Nation, and go find the movie about, oh, what's the name of that? I'm here by myself, and I don't have anybody to feed me that movie that was done about eating at McDonald's all the time. If someone could think of it, please call me and tell me what the name of that is. But if we persist in the type of diet that creates shortages in certain vitamins and minerals and so forth, then we actually increase the chance of DNA being passed along to next generations in trouble that they would then have to deal with. But the good news is that all you need to do is eat correctly, and the right chemicals come from those foods that reverse the genetic effect. So that's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Okay, I'm going to let my husband get that, mine too. And hopefully it has something to do with Thomas. Let's have a look here. Hello? Nope, I didn't get it. Okay, so I've got this other little thing too. We have been talking about why use herbs and vitamins and so forth in one's, why change to include those in your diet. And I've got a wonderful little one-page thing that Stephen Horn wrote back in April of 1991. It says, why herbs? For thousands of years, mankind has turned to the herbs of the field, leaves, bark, roots, and fruits from non-poisonous plants as a source of healing power. Animals instinctively use them when they're sick. Even in these days of modern medicine, millions of people throughout the world rely on these natural medicines as their primary form of health care. But why would anyone with access to the wonders of modern drugs and surgery want to go back to the use of herbs? Here's why. First, many people are failing to find answers to their problems through orthodox medicine. Today's killer diseases are chronic degenerative conditions such as heart disease and immune disorders like cancer, arthritis, lupus, and AIDS. Modern medicine offers little hope for people with these disorders, so people are looking for alternatives. Others are searching for alternatives because they're tired of the harmful side effects and high cost of modern health care. They feel that there must be a safer and less expensive way to achieve good health. Herbs offer an attractive alternative to many people because of their long history of safe use. Many religious traditions teach that herbs were provided by an all-wise creator who prepared them to heal every affliction with mankind, that mankind might suffer. Others feel that herbs are part of getting back to our Mother Nature and living more in harmony with the planetary system which supplies all of our physical needs. Many feel that our bodies have evolved over thousands of years to utilize the elements found in plants for tissue growth and repair. But whatever the reason, all these people feel that these natural substances are superior to modern man's chemical medicines. We view wholesome, non-poisonous herbs as special resource foods for helping to build and repair the tissues of the body. They're natural sources of vitamins, minerals, and other substances, which the body uses to effect repair and maintenance. Modern medicine has extracted and isolated specific chemicals from these plants for use as drugs. In doing so, they've removed these substances from their natural base of balance. Just as sugar becomes harmful to the system when it's been refined, so the chemicals found in herbs become harmful drugs when they're isolated from their holistic state. Because these isolated chemicals are not whole, they cannot restore the body to wholeness. Tens of thousands of people throughout North America have found through their own experience that herbs can help the body to heal itself of many so-called incurable diseases. They've also discovered that these natural substances do not build up residual effects with continued use and have no toxic side effects. They are extremely safe when used with common sense. Although people sometimes experience problems such as sinus drainage, nausea and vomiting, diarrhea, headaches, or rashes when they take herbs, these symptoms are not life-threatening and rapidly subside when the herb is discontinued. Many herbalists believe that these reactions are the result of the body ridding itself of accumulated metabolic waste or toxins and view them as a sign of healing. In fact, it is commonly felt that herbs help to heal the body by cleansing and nourishing its tissues. Whatever the case, however, these side effects of herbs are a far cry from many of the potential hazards of modern drugs such as kidney failure, permanent liver damage, immune system depression, and even death. The lives of men, women, and children have been blessed for generations because of the many wonders of nature's herbs. We invite you to join us in rediscovering their benefits. Again, that was written by Stephen Horn back in 1991, and it answers the very common question that I receive on a daily basis, why would I want to go use herbs? the unmodern medicine. There's a, in that last paragraph, talking about the vomiting, nausea, et cetera, what that is referring to is what's known as a Herx reaction. And when one is working with true healing and bringing the body really back to its full rhythmic, natural rebuilding process, what very often happens is there will be a period where you feel much better, and then suddenly you start to feel a little bit worse. And then you'll come above where you were to begin with, and then you'll get worse again. And what happens is, as the body's getting better, okay, this is Susan Gingrich again. I'm sorry we were off the air for a moment there. We were trying to reach our friend Thomas Easley to come and be on the show with us. If any of you would like to call in with questions, I'm going to give you a phone number. It's 877-876-5227. And Thomas, if we haven't been able to reach you because we have the wrong number, you can call that number and get back in on the show. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And if anyone would like to contact me personally with a question, please email me at ngingrich, G-I-N-G-E-R-I-C-H, at cinci.rr.com. Okay, and what we were talking about is the healing reaction when one is using herbs or supplements in a healing mode to support any system in the body that is needing help. And as one starts to take in good supplements and good nutrition, you'll feel better, and then you'll drop off, and you'll feel worse as your body decides, okay, good, she's going to feed me now, and I think I'd better dump out some of this garbage. So you dump out the garbage, and then you come up again a little higher than you were before. So you'll have kind of a roller coaster effect with your health as you're truly healing it. And eventually, you'll come up to a place where you've never felt like that before. And, you know, I've been asking people in my meetings and in my consultations lately, you know, how do you see how you're feeling right now compared to how you've, you know, the best you've ever felt? And very few people, that are coming to see me actually remember what it feels like to feel good. As a culture, we are that far down in our health. And I started out with looking at this, the genetic research, and it's just fascinating to me how much money and time is being spent on genetic research. And I'm still puzzled with what the point of that is. Is it to be able to say you're defective and therefore we won't insure you, or, eventually deciding who can pass on, who can have children? And even pass these genes along. But if we settle into the notion that whatever our genetics is, we must live with, then we're defeated by that. What we need to do is look at the article in Discover magazine from November and really have a look at that simple foods like beets and onions and other vegetables have the methyl-rich ingredients in it to actually counter that DNA problem that is occurring. But know that if you don't change your diet, you will be passing along deteriorated genes to your next generation. And I read years ago an article that stated that seven generations away from the farm, and they won't be able to reproduce anymore because they'll be that far away from vegetable material. It's interesting to me that Anderson Cooper, just before I came up here to do the show, Anderson Cooper is on TV. He's going to be in the rainforest in his show tonight talking about what we need to do as a planet to return the balancing effect that the rainforest has on our ecosystem. And I'm really looking forward to taking a little time with that one tonight. I enjoy Anderson, and I think that would be a really good show to watch. We caught another TV show recently this past week concerning a black chemist in the United States who made a career of finding the active ingredients in various plants and then finding what the chemical structure was so that the pharmaceutical companies that he was working for could imitate that. And and pass that along to us as a medicine. And you see, in order to patent a medicine, we have to make it out of man-made materials. And that's why modern chemistry in this country and in Europe is constantly looking for the actives in plants that they can imitate. But as is pointed out in this article, by taking the active away from the plant, you lose the buffering and the ability for the plant to soften the effect of that active ingredient. And we have just found time and again that after years of research on a certain herb, we find that, yeah, the active is helpful for a certain illness, but the total composition of the chemical structure of the plant prevents the person from having the side effects that you would get from the same active ingredient imitated in a drug. So, for example, let's look at the statin drugs. The statin drugs would be Lipitor, Crestor, all of those sorts of things. And they are an imitation of what occurs naturally in a fermented Chinese red rice. And I've got a real interesting paper here on statin drugs. I'm going to be doing an area herb conference in Fort Wayne. I want to get some information on that. And I'll be doing that with a man named Clell Fowles, who is a pharmacist, who has written two books on drugs and herbs. The first one, he talks about classes of drugs, because that's what he was trained in as a pharmacist, and then what herbs you would use to replace those same drugs if you were interested in doing that. The second book that he wrote is about the fact that when you take a drug, you'll create shortages in vitamins and minerals and so forth in your body just because of the drug, because it's so out of balance. Fascinating work that he's done, and he'll be speaking on both those books at this conference. It's Saturday, February 24th in Bluffton, Indiana. And if anyone would be interested in going to that, I'm going to suggest that you email aharvestofhealth.com. So it's info@aharvestofhealth.com. Or you can email me if you missed that. And there's still room to go to that. I'm going to be doing my herb lady. That's where I dress up in my 1830s outfit in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I'll be going through the story of the health issues in my own family that caused us to start looking at herbs in the first place and got me off onto this crazy batch of studying that we've been doing ever since. It's been a ride of about 20 years here. Now, I was just talking about statin drugs, and I've got a sheet here that came through, let's see, Deb Hatton is where I got it, and I'm not sure who wrote this. But here's what it says. What do you know about cholesterol and these statin drugs? Every cell membrane in our body contains cholesterol because cholesterol is what makes our cells waterproof. Cholesterol is the body's repair substance. Scar tissue contains high levels of cholesterol, including scar tissue on the arteries. Cholesterol is the precursor to vitamin D, necessary for numerous biochemical processes, including mineral metabolism. The bile salts required for the digestion of fat are made of cholesterol. Those who suffer from low cholesterol often have trouble digesting fats. Cholesterol also functions as a powerful antioxidant, thus protecting us against cancer and aging. Cholesterol is vital to proper neurological function. It plays a key role in the formation of memory and the uptake of hormones in the brain, including serotonin, the body's feel-good chemical. Cholesterol is the precursor to all the hormones produced in the adrenal cortex, including glucocorticoids, which regulate your mineral balance. Thus, low cholesterol, whether due to an innate error of metabolism or induced by cholesterol-lowering diets and drugs, can be expected to disrupt the production of adrenal hormones and lead to blood sugar problems, edema, mineral deficiencies, chronic inflammation, difficulty in healing, allergies, asthma, reduced libido, infertility, and various reproductive problems. Now, you've heard all those listed on the ads on TV already, I'm sure. Now, statin drugs inhibit the production of cholesterol. They do this very well. Statins replaced a class of pharmaceuticals that lowered cholesterol by preventing its absorption from the gut. One of the most common side effects of the statin drug is muscle pain and weakness, a condition called rhabdomyolysis, most likely due to the depletion of CoQ10, a nutrient that supports the muscle. I have to stop here. When the statin drugs were first developed, they knew that CoQ10 depletion was a side effect of statin drug use. And CoQ10 is extremely important to the heart muscle itself, to the tissue. So by taking the statin drug, which is supposed to prevent heart disease, we reduce the very nutrient that helps the heart muscle to heal itself. I think we have just destroyed the reason for doing this, the drug in the first place. Other cholesterol-lowering agents besides statin drugs can cause joint pain and muscle weakness. Statins also have a profound effect on peripheral neuropathy, where weakness, tingling, and pain in the hands and feet develop. The damage is often irreversible. People who take large doses for a long time may be left with permanent nerve damage even after they stop taking the drug. Interference with production of CoQ10 by statin drugs is the most likely explanation for many heart failures. Dizziness is commonly associated with statin use, possibly due to pressure-lowering effects. Statin drugs used since 1998 has caused people's speech and memory to fade. Complete memory loss may occur for a brief or lengthy period. Depression has been linked to low cholesterol due to statin drugs. Mood disturbances developed over time. Now, what that says to me is that we've gone overboard in the desire to reduce cholesterol. The way I look at cholesterol, it's a symptom that there's an irritation or an inflammation in the bloodstream. Usually that inflammation is caused by the sugars, the wrong sugars that we've been eating, i.e. refined sugars, even corn syrup. Most of the sweeteners that we put into our system are damaging and inflammatory to the inner lining of the circulatory system. So cholesterol's job is to put a nice, cushy layer on any irritation in the bloodstream. And when we see it as the problem instead of the symptom, and we reduce it artificially, we leave that exposed, inflamed interior wall of the bloodstream right open and hot pink and angry with no way to soothe it. So by artificially reducing the cholesterol and continuing to eat the wrong sugars, we're actually making the situation worse. I have read some studies which tell us that extremely low cholesterol can actually set you up for cancer, and you'll see more heart disease when it's below 100 than you'll see when it's above 215. So the chronic reduction of it. Oh, here we have Thomas coming in on my cell phone. Thomas, we've been trying to call you, and either we've got the wrong number or something. Can you give it to me quickly? Yes, and they called, and somebody's picked up the phone, and nobody's answered. Are you on your cell phone? Okay, I'm back, and I'm sorry, we're still trying to reach Thomas to get him involved in this conversation tonight. But some of the things that you can use to reduce the situation that cholesterol would be involved in would be a product called red yeast rice, which is actually the fermented red yeast rice that many of the drug companies use as a base for their statin drugs. We've had really good results with something called Google lipids, which is an Indian essential fatty acid. And we've also found that flaxseed oil will help to regulate the cholesterol and the blood pressure in the system. It helps to soothe those irritated blood vessels. Anytime you use a lot of psyllium, you're going to be able to absorb the cholesterol that's coming in to the system. And it goes on out through the intestinal system without being used. Garlic, just good old plain as high potency as you can stand it, garlic will help to do many things. It helps to declump the red blood cells, which helps to prevent any clotting that would prevent a stroke. It also helps to lower blood pressure and also helps with cholesterol. An omega-3, and you've seen several commercials on TV. Hey, Thomas is on. We finally got him. Hi, yeah. Thomas.
Hi there.
I'm so sorry. We've been calling both of these numbers since 10 o'clock, and for some reason we have done it wrong.
No big deal.
Sitting there listening. Have you been able to hear what we've talked about so far?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, I was just reading through some stuff on cholesterol and statin drugs.
Yes.
We kind of got off on a little tangent on that.
Okay.
And I was just suggesting red yeast rice, Google lipids, anything with fiber in it, garlic, omega-3. Lecithin is an amazingly good product to use for breaking up fats, and that helps to reduce cholesterol as well. And Megacel will help to repair the blood vessel walls where, the lack of cholesterol will leave them angry and red. Okay. Now that we have Thomas here, we've finished up that subject. Thomas, I've kind of talked about that article already, but I'd like to get into discussion with you about it. And if you could, please, tell us, like, anything else that happened at the Leaders Conference that might be interesting to people as well. I know that Dr. Rodier mentioned an article there that you had already read, and I'd like your opinion on that, too. I've kind of talked about it a little bit, but go ahead.
Yeah, the article was out of Discover Magazine in October of 2006, and it's a study on epigenetics or nutrigenetics, how nutrition affects your genetic makeup. And basically the study says that 95% of the previously thought of genetic diseases are not true genetic diseases. They're from nutritional deficiencies. And when you aren't processing nutrients properly, your cells replicate wrong. So even if you were given healthy cells, they replicate wrong and you get sick. Or if you were given sick cells, unhealthy cells, you can get the right nutrition in, and they'll start replicating correctly again. It'll change the DNA. And so it's a groundbreaking study that I think is going to really change our view on genetic disease. What I tell my clients is I hand out a copy of this to them now when they say, oh, well, I'm a diabetic, but that's okay because my mother was a diabetic, so it's hereditary, or I have high blood pressure, or I have heart disease. But my father had heart disease, so that's supposed to happen. And I give this to him, and I say, no, this is the new research. It's a thorough study, and it shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can change what you were given, and you can affect what you pass on to your children also.
So it's not just genetics. That's the old question that we had in college psych class. Is it genetics or is it environment?
Is it nature or nurture?
Exactly.
And it's obviously nurture.
Uh-huh. It is. That you can turn around and affect the genetic, your genetic situation, not just your progeny, but you as well.
Yes.
You know, we look at eyes all the time. I don't know, do you do iridology with your folks?
Yes, I do.
Okay, when you look in the eyes, one of the things you look at right away is the general constitution of a person, and that's obvious in the iris of the eye. It's just something that we've all learned to do over time. And what I've been finding consistently is that the older folks that I see have a much better constitution than the younger ones.
Well, and to kind of go off on a little side tangent, I think that is because of where we are at as a society, not necessarily nutrition-wise, but the trade-offs on your constitution are, if you're physically really strong, then you'll be emotionally and mentally weak. And if you're physically weak, you'll be emotionally and mentally strong. And so, I mean, if you look at the older people that grew up in the Depression, they had to be physically strong to survive. And since then, we've kind of, we've had more and it's a more cushy society, and so the body is adapting to expand the emotional, spiritual paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting comparison between the two, you know, your active kinesthetic or your traditional flower constitution.
And I've been doing some reading on how, where the mind-body connection is and so forth. And I just have to say that as a culture, I'm a little bit suspicious that we enjoy our bad health.
Right.
As a culture, that we're actually creating that so we have big dramatic stories to tell everybody. But if we look at the actual numbers, I saw a number on TV the other day that was shocking to me, that one in 166 children will be autistic.
Yeah.
And that a one in three men will have prostate issues.
The autistic children, one in 166?
Yeah.
In 1985, it was one in 10,000.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I was wondering if anybody had those statistics.
Yeah.
And, of course, comparing things like breast cancer, where one in five women will have breast cancer in America. When we were in Shanghai back in October, we saw an article in the paper that was really chastising the Shanghai population because they apparently their eating habits had gone downhill. Now, instead of one in every... Let's see, it was 43 in every 100,000 would get breast cancer 10 years ago, and now it's up to 73 in every 100,000.
And what are we at?
And they're worried about it. One in five. One in five.
Yep.
Now, we can reverse that, and it doesn't involve terribly expensive machinery in hospitals. It involves eating the onions, the beets, the simple vegetables that we... our bodies are looking for.
And getting your iodine, so important in preventing breast cancer and prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. Because the iodine, it feeds the thyroid, which regulates the hormones.
Right.
And when the hormones go off, you get into trouble.
Well, if you look in the body at where the iodine concentrates most, you find that about in a female body, about 70%, I think, is in the thyroid. And then there's a split about 15% each in the breast tissue and the uterine tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, breast and uterine. And in guys, it's about 75% in the thyroid, and the rest is in the prostate gland.
I met with a gentleman this week with prostate issues, and I had quite a few things to suggest to him, like pawpaw to help to eliminate the cancer cells, and... various herbs to help with the prostate health and then things for his immune system. And, you know, he didn't bat an eye about the cost of any of it because he had with him the drug that they gave him. And there were three pills at the bottom. He only gets 30 pills in a bottle.
Yeah.
And that bottle cost him $433.
Was it Proscar?
No, I think it was almost, I forget the name of it, but it was a chemotherapy.
Oh, it's chemotherapy, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say there's a popular drug for BPH that is called Proscar, and there's a couple of other generic names for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simply a extract of saw palmetto that reduces dihydrotestosterone by 40%, whereas the studies have shown that just raw saw palmetto reduces it by 80%.
So it's better not to process it and turn it into a drug.
Right.
And that's true. You know, many times we'll find studies that show that the actual herb itself does so much better than the imitation in the drug. I was reading a little thing from Stephen Horn on why herbs at the beginning of this, and he talks about the position of the active ingredient within the bed of the whole rest of the leaf and the whole chemical composition, and it tends to not have the side effects that you would have by a highly concentrated active ingredient.
It's just man trying to improve on nature, and I think nature's had a lot more experience at it than we have.
Yeah, and you know, it's very arrogant of us to think that we can improve like that. But you know, I don't think that was the original impetus. I think it was that you can patent a man-made material,
right,
and therefore jack the price up. You cannot patent a God-made material.
Right.
And we've talked about that before, and you know that that's the main issue there. Okay, so can you think of anything else that happened at the Leaders Conference that you'd like to talk about?
I did a good class on the nattozymes.
Okay, which are blood clot-reducing supplements.
They dissolve fibrin in the bloodstream, and there's... Let me remember the wording on this. There are X amount of things in the blood that cause it to be thin, but there's only one major one that causes it to clot, and that's fibrin. And this helps dissolve fibrin, and so it's self-regulating. You cannot take too much of it. In fact, it's extracted from a fermentation of a soybean that Japanese eat on an everyday basis.
It's interesting because I just saw a TV show about finding all kinds of pieces of soybean. In fact, the first progesterone is extracted from soybean as well, according to this.
Yeah.
So soybean is just loaded with goodies.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so this dissolves fibrin in the bloodstream and keeps your blood fluid, so it's a great replacement for your typical Coumadin warfarin blood thinners, and it's self-regulating. You can't take too much. You're not going to overdose on it, and it's a lot better than taking rat poison, which is what Coumadin is.
Well, since you brought that up, if a person were on Coumadin out there listening to us, how would you go about doing that?
I'd simply give them the information and say, look, you're responsible for your body and your health. If you feel like you want to continue taking the prescription, fine. If not, you want to try natokinase, then here's the information on it. You make that decision because it's your body. Feel free to talk it over with your doctor. Feel free to show him the research, but don't be surprised if he's negative because he doesn't get the kickbacks on it like he does on the...
Okay, so suppose you have a negative doctor.
Well, that's when I just tell people to grow up, you know.
One of the things I tell people, you know, because we've used garlic the same way, garlic, ginseng, and ginkgo will all also be natural blood thinners. And incidentally, if you're planning to have surgery, you should stop all of those within a week before the surgery.
Right.
Because you're what the surgeon would call a bleeder at that point.
Right.
And they can't get you to stop bleeding, so they don't like those herbs before you have surgery.
Now, natokinase works on a different way. You know, if you take too much ginkgo, it'll thin your blood down a lot.
Okay.
Natokinase will not. Like I said, you can take a handful of them, and it won't get it as thin as ginkgo, but it dissolves fibrin, which is what causes
the clots that you're worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, that would help to prevent a stroke, too.
Right. Yeah.
I just was reading something about Alzheimer's, speaking of clots, because, you know, we blame blood clots sometimes in the brain for that. This was suggesting that amyloid proteins are getting plugged up in the brain. And that started my brain working on that.
Right.
You know, we've heard about aluminum being part of the problem in Alzheimer's. But what's this amyloid thing in the brain about? Now, I've worked with amyloidosis a couple of times with clients, and eventually either their kidneys or their heart become like leather.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're diagnosed with amyloidosis, you're given about 6 months to live.
Wow.
And both of the people that I worked with lived an extra 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
And what we did was a lot of CoQ10, which goes back to what I was telling the folks about with statin drugs. The statin drugs actually reduce the CoQ10 in your heart and in your system,
right?
Which puts you more at risk for heart disease, you know, when you're using those. So CoQ10 was a big key factor for both of these folks that we worked with, and then supporting the kidney and the heart in every way we could, because those seem to be the muscles that were most attacked by it. But now, if there's amyloid protein in the brain with Alzheimer's, one of the things that might be considered is increased digestion of protein in your system.
Right.
And that's one of the other things that I did with both of those clients, was to make sure that they were always taking a hydrochloric acid supplement or protease to digest the proteins in their system.
Yeah, when those proteins leak out into the bloodstream, you get all types of nasty results.
Uh-huh. And, you know, excess proteins are involved in a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Even viral and bacterial situations in cancer have a protein component to them because they've got protein sheaths around all those cells.
Right.
So you have to break into the protein before you can cure the disease. So excess proteins, and even cataracts. I've heard it said that cataracts are a misplaced protein in the body.
I actually met a lady that had used straight Nature's Fresh enzyme spray to dissolve cataracts.
No.
Yeah, she said it burned like rip for about 5 days. And then
she what?
It worked. No pain.
Within 5 days?
Well,
okay,
she said it burned for 5 days. It took her about 2 weeks to get them dissolved.
I'll be darned. Well, see, Nature's Fresh is an enzyme product that's in a spray bottle. it was actually just we'll have to give people a little we could spend the rest of the time on Nature's Fresh.
Right.
It's a spray bottle, and it says on the bottle that it's for removing stains. And as you know, enzymes are very good at getting rug stains out, or you can spray your laundry with this, and that's what it was developed for. Kim Ballas looked at that one day, though, and she said, well, wait, these enzymes would really help with muscle repair. And she started using it to spray on dislocated shoulders and muscle and arthritic problems, and then later wrote a whole book on things you can do just with Nature's Fresh.
Yeah, she was actually the one teaching the class on that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so she dissolved cataracts with Nature's Fresh. Did she spray it right in her eyes?
Yeah, she had a customer that just put it directly into the eyes. Now, she recommends diluting it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she recommends a teaspoon twice a day internally for a variety of diseases.
Like what?
Cancer, autoimmune disorders, anything with excess protein in the blood.
Huh.
So.
Well, and of course, Protease Plus is an enzyme that breaks down protein, and I will always use that in a cancer client.
Right.
I suggest that they use something to break up proteins.
Well, she was saying is the Nature's Fresh has full-chain protease enzymes. Protease is a subcategory of a certain type of enzyme.
They're proteolytic acids, I believe.
And this has the full array of that, plus about five or six more.
I'll be darned. And we don't have that in any other product, do we?
No, it's in fact, it's unique in the market, as far as I know.
Huh. So Nature's Sunshine is where you get this stuff.
Yes.
And I don't think I've seen the book yet. I've heard it's out. Did she have it for sale yet?
You know, I didn't even ask her about that.
Well, that would probably be through Tree of Light. So anybody who would like that book, you could get in touch with either you or me, and we could get it ordered for you. I'm going to give you my email address. It's ngingrich, G-I-N-G-E-R-I-C-H, at cinci.rr.com. It's cinci.rr.com. Please communicate with any questions that you might have. We'd be glad to answer sometime on the show, or you know, develop a show around it, whatever. Go ahead, Thomas, and give yours.
My email address is tmeasley@hotmail.com.
@hotmail.com. Okay. All right. And it's been a fascinating week. So, anything else go on there, or in that class?
Well, we did learn about the xylitol and had some interesting statistics and studies that we were informed of with the xylitol sweetened chocolate bars.
Okay, we have a new dark chocolate sweetened
yes.
with xylitol, and I've had people with muscle problems tell me that they improve just eating a candy bar a day.
Right.
That's phenomenal.
They recommend 2 candy bars a day.
That's a terrible kind of disease medicine, isn't it?
Right,
you
right.
You have to eat that dark chocolate.
And apparently the chocolate they use is processed at a very, very low temperature, so the antioxidant value is tenfold what you would normally get.
And, of course, there is some good magnesium in chocolate as well.
Yes.
So it's going to help with muscles. So this is a chocolate, ladies, you can have, and it's fine, okay? The xylitol, go ahead and tell us what xylitol will do.
The xylitol is a alcohol sugar. Now, there's lots of different types of sugars, and we normally get refined cane sugar in our diet.
Which is bad.
Right.
It hurts you, okay?
And this is extracted from, I believe, the birch tree.
I think the original was the birch tree. They were saying that they're also extracting it from corn cobs now.
Okay, maybe it was originally extracted from birch tree. But anyway, the xylitol has been around for over 100 years. They've known about it.
Okay. It's spelled with an X, by the way.
And they actually used it in World War II when they couldn't get sugar. That's where the birch tree comes from. They would in Europe, they would make an alcohol out of birch tree bark and concentrate down in. It tasted like sugar. Now, it won't make bread rise because it doesn't feed yeast, but it does taste sweet, and the normal glycemic index of sugar is around like 85, 87, and xylitol is 8. So it's not damaging on the body. And it's also been shown to reduce plaque in your mouth and the chance of infections, sore throats. I've actually been using it for a little bit of an itch in my throat. I've just been chewing xylitol gum all day, and it's kept everything in check.
Dr. Duarte at the convention was telling us, too, that it actually helps to repair the enamel on teeth.
Yes, I've heard that.
And helps with bone structure as well. So there you go.
Yeah,
so if white sugar tears down your bones, this will build them up. That's phenomenal.
Seems
I hope
like
it's true.
Yeah.
Anything else about xylitol?
Just that it's been used for a wide variety of things that you would never think of. It's, for instance, mixing the raw sugar with water and using it to spray on fungal infections.
Okay.
So all types of really cool things that xylitol is doing. And,
you can bake with it, can't you?
For a couple of years.
You can bake with it?
Yeah, you can bake with it. It just, it's a sweetener, but it won't make bread or cakes rise. It won't feed yeast, so, which is actually a great thing. I mean, you don't want an excess of yeast feeding
nutrients
in your diet anyway.
And most people have got yeast anyway, so you don't want to feed that.
Right.
Okay. Did they talk about anything else at the convention?
Oh, I'm sure they did, and if I had my notebook in front of me, I could tell you
more. You'd be able to tell us. Okay. We want to mention to everybody out there that Thomas and I are teaching two classes at the moment with Tree of Light, and we'll be expanding that as time goes on. One is called Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad, and we've already got a request for one of those in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and in New York City, right?
Right.
Okay, and so if you live in those areas and you'd be interested in coming to this, you could email either one of us or call the station and they can put you in touch with us. And we'll be glad to help you get into those courses. They're very reasonably priced. I mean, less than half of that bottle of chemotherapy for one course.
Right.
Just think of it that way. You'll be saving so much money over time if you know the stuff that's in that course. And it's basic, simple things. You know how to get rid of headaches, how to work with even a little bit of energy work with your hands, and the basic high fever, earache, common cold, you know, all the kinds of things that you deal with each year, and anybody who lives with any other human beings needs to know about. Keeps you out of the emergency room, which, as any of you who have been there lately know, it's very expensive. So, again, it's a money-saving device here.
Yeah, it's very dangerous to go to emergency rooms now.
It's dangerous, is it?
70% of staff infections are got in hospitals.
Ouch.
Yep.
Well, they're spread there, yeah?
Right.
By the way, eucalyptus oil will kill off staph infection in a room. I've heard that it kills off 95% of the staph in a room just by aerating it into the room.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who need to know that. Okay, so we're doing that class, and then we want to follow that with a class called ABCs, ABC plus D, and it's got a rather thick manual with it. It goes through each system of the body and works with the tissue state theory and how to support and bring back to balance each system in the body and what herbs will do that and what procedures can do that. So we're developing a curriculum for you, and we hope you'll want to join us in learning about it. This is stuff that has kept me fascinated for years and years. It's simple, and yet it isn't simplistic.
Right.
Okay, do you want to say anything more about those courses? And we've got about two more minutes.
It. Yeah, the courses are the best basic and broad basic herbalism courses that I can think of. You know, I've studied many different herbalism courses, but the way that this is related is just incredibly easy to understand and get the gist of, but at the same time, allows you to go much more in-depth based on this one theory than most courses allow you to. So.
Mm-hmm. And that theory is, in a nutshell, bringing your body back to balance on three different meridians, hot and cold, wet and dry, and...
constricted and relaxed.
Say it again, relaxed and constricted, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we we find a way to balance that, and the body will come to a healing space. Okay?
Yep.
And we got about one more minute. Anything else you want to say? I want to thank you for coming. I know that you had a bout with, we'll call it jet lag, coming back from LA today.
Yes, and it was.
We really appreciate you trying hard to get on here. Sorry about that. Did I mix up the numbers?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As KP Casala says, you know, the human body was not designed to fly through the air at 600 miles an hour.
No, it wasn't. You need to get an Epsom salts bath, by the way, after that.
Oh,
it helps
yeah.
with the whole effect.
Yes, that's what I'm planning on.
Put some oils in it, 2 or 3 drops of something you like.
Got a good massage today, nice relaxing Epsom salts bath tonight, and I'll be great.
There you go. And anybody who flies, one of the things I carry with me is colloidal silver in a spray bottle. Of course, now they want everything less than a 2-ounce bottle, so make it small. Keep that around your nose and face so that anything you breathe isn't, you're not taking in the germs from the bottom of the next person's lungs. And if you're on the plane for more than 2 or 3 hours, you're going to need to be careful with that sort of thing because you are breathing the same air in and out of everybody's lungs on the plane. I guess TB has been spreading on airplanes.
Yes.
So after an airplane trip, take an Epsom salts bath, and it helps to balance your pH and fight off anything that you got exposed to. Mm-hmm. Any other tips on that?
No, there's a blend of essential oils that's good at keeping infection down, but we'll talk about that next time.
Well, all right. And I think we're about ready to sign off. So thank you, Thomas,
thank you, Susan.
Good night.
Good night.